Well, Shane's the key tie because it'll be too high for a lot of people, but it's glad in the help of the king.
I know the Lord has made a way. Service in the name of the Lord. Tomorrow is the funeral of that wee man, John, Matthew's wife's uncle, Sister Lauren's uncle. And Matthew was telling me that his mother-in-law is saved, Lauren's mum's saved, and her dad's recently got saved, Derek Hines as well. So the Lord's really moved on them. And that's just recent, you know, and we just thank the Lord for that. He wasn't too well a while back. He had asked for prayer and everything to our kinds. They didn't know what it was, and it was a good lot of weeks, but we're praying for him. And it's great to hear he's, you know, they say he's made a profession. People say he's made a profession. Well, Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Isn't that right? Amen. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians tonight. 1 Corinthians, let us read from verse 7 just for an opening. And we're going to read through, you can read down through all of chapter 12. And you know, I want to say this tonight. You can read any commentaries you want and everything in this chapter 12. But if you're not reading on from a man that's a Pentecostal background, they'll not tell you nothing. And even Bibles that have been translated, even it's the King James, you know what I mean? Different Bibles you can get with different men's made Bibles. You have a look through them and you'll notice, and I'm not going to name any denominations, but certain denominations, when you get to this chapter 12, they've nothing down, for they know nothing about it. That's the truth of it. And I think in the day, it is absolutely stupid to think that God on the day of Pentecost gave 9 gifts, and then a few years later, they disappeared and they're gone, and you don't need them no more. That's nonsense. But there's a lot of people preach that. But that's not the Bible. We want the Word of God. Amen. Let's read verse 7 down, just a few verses. Let's start at verse 1. Praise God. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. I mentioned the other week where it says the world can't receive the Holy Spirit. People talk about people having the Holy Spirit and they're lost. But yet, if you have the Holy Spirit, you're really born again. So that's a contradiction. And here it says, if you have the real Holy Spirit, you'll not call Jesus accursed. Now, some other thing might, but that's not the Holy Spirit. It's a decoy. Verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there's diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Let's bow our heads tonight, praise God, and we want to continue to pray for Sister Lynn, and that the Lord really touch her, praise God. And if you have a need tonight, just lift your hand up while every head's bowed, every eye closed. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you tonight in the name that you have set far above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you'll wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Lord, many times we've failed, we've fallen short. We've went ways you didn't want us to go, but we pray you'll have mercy on every one of us tonight, and you'll sanctify us and fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost this evening. Lord, I need the Holy Spirit, and I take the Holy Spirit by faith in Jesus Christ's name, and I plead the blood of Jesus Christ afresh over my own life and every life in this room tonight. On all that's near and dear to us, we plead your precious blood tonight, Lord Jesus. Pray for every hand raised that you'll meet every single need in Jesus' precious name. Pray you'll bind every work of the devil and spoil his goods in every life and in every home and in every situation in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for Sister Lynn. We ask from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, she will know the power and the touch of Almighty God upon her body. Touch her and heal her, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Now, Lord, bless this word to their hearts tonight and have your way in each one of our lives. Bless the sisters at work or couldn't be here tonight, and save all the children, Lord, and let's represent every family in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want to just read you this statement quickly from a Pentecostal. Is that all right? Praise God. You're just slow on the uptick. You say, why is that so important? It's very important. It's really important. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are absolutely vitally important. They're essential to the functioning of the church. Without them, the church lacks its spiritual equipment that is outlined in the first epistle to the Corinthians, this 12th chapter. It is so necessary for an aggressive conflict with the powers of darkness. Without it, the church is deprived of that edifying enrichment which comes from the manifestation of the Holy Spirit's presence and power in our midst. And I believe that tonight. Deprived without it, You can read down, and I'm going to come back to verse 7 in a moment. But the gifts are given to profit with all. The gifts are in the church to profit with all. And there's a fivefold ministry, and so many people don't believe in a fivefold ministry. But yet with all the scriptures, there's all the scriptures to say there is a fivefold ministry. And the Bible itself says that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophet, and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So when you do away with a fivefold ministry, you're doing away with a lot of things. I know some good men, they've written books, and they do a lot of stuff online and all different bits and pieces, and they don't believe in pastors. Everyone's an elder. But the Bible talks about pastors. So you can't do away with a pastor. You need the pastor, you need the prophet, the evangelist, the apostle. You need the whole fivefold ministry. And we definitely need it today more than ever. Now you could list from verse 8 to verse 10 is the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there's the 9 fruits also of the Holy Spirit. And these 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit are for to edify the church. You know, I was listening to a message just the other day, and this wee girl was blind. She came up before William Branham, and her dad was blind as well. And he was just praying for them. He wasn't seeing any vision or anything. He was praying, and nothing happened, he said, when he prayed. And he said he doesn't know if it was a vision or what happened, but he went up before the Lord, and the wee girl was with him, whatever way it happened. He can't fully explain it. And he went up before the Lord, and when he got up before the Lord, the wee girl's eyes come open, and then when he came back round, he's standing on the platform with her, and her eyes opened. And then her dad's opened as well, and God healed the both of them. Another wee girl was brought to him. She was blind. She's only very, very young. She's still playing with baby toys. And he held her in his arm and was praying for her, and he felt something wet on his arm. It was her crying. She'd never cried in her life. She was born with what was known back then as a dry eye, and the Lord opened her eyes as well. That's a gift that was given to the church. Now I know a lot of things have went over the top around end time churches, especially concerning William Branham, but the original calling that man got was a gift of healing. That was his calling. The angel of the Lord came, and God sent him specially with a gift of healing. That was what God sent him to do. And here we have in Corinthians, that's one of the gifts. There's a gift of working of miracles, and there's a gift of healing. And the Pentecostals, nominational, put so much emphasis on tongues. Everybody had tongues, but there was not much emphasis put on other things. But everything was put on tongues. And yet tongues is only one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Let me list for you these 9 gifts briefly this evening, verse 8 till 10 in 1 Corinthians 12. And I'm not going to read it all here. I'm just going to tell you briefly. The first one's the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. And I tell you what, there's nothing like a word of wisdom. And there's a man that's no longer with us, I believe, had a word of wisdom. And on more than one occasion, he came to me with the word of wisdom. And on several different occasions, I would have made a big mistake. On one night in particular, I was about to make one, and the man I'm talking about pulled into my driveway and gave me a word of wisdom. There was actually a fella I chummed with, and I went to the weightlifting training gym with him, and he was convinced his neighbor was trying to kill him. This is a true story. Jordy would actually know this man. He'd call his first name Gary. And he was involved. He went to that the church over near at Scarva, over that way, the group over there. Well, that's not important, but let me tell you this. He was convinced his neighbor was trying to kill him. And he got me over to the house and he says, can you smell in here? There's gases coming in from next door. He's a pipe under the ground into my house. He's trying to gas me and kill me. And he was convinced of it. He wanted me to go to the man's house. It was a big young fella's house. And I says, Gary, what do you want me to do? Go to his door and knock him out? Or hit him? What do you want me to do? And ruin my testimony? And this is what he wanted me more or less to do. The same man that had the word of wisdom came to my house, come up the drive, come into the house, and he says to me, I took an awful strong feeling to come and see you. There's a fellow that you're going to the gym with, and he's trying to get you to go to a man's door, and he told him everything all about it. Now you tell me how he knew that, because I never told him nothing about it. How did he know it? And he told me exactly all about it. And I tell you then, when I come to find out, and I'm going to tell you this, and from another man, that same man that was wanting me to do that one time before took a notion the neighbour before was going to kill him. And he put a caravan in his back field, moved the wife and the son out into it, and the police never ended up coming to rescue them. Now, I'm just telling you, a word of wisdom means a lot. What would have happened if I'd have went to your boy's door and a fight had started? And I'd have hit him or any, you know, you don't know what can happen. But the word of wisdom stopped it. There's a sister in this meeting had something wrong. And that same man stopped her going out the door and he told her what you prayed that very morning. That's a word of wisdom. That was a word of wisdom. And I tell you many times, we go about and say, there's no gifts in our meeting. But there could be more gifts in this meeting than you know or realize. But I'll tell you the problem. Familiarity breeds contempt. And you could take people out of this meeting away somewhere else and God would use them. And William Branham himself, listening on a message today, said, I can't operate here in this tabernacle like I can in other places. Because you know what it says, a prophet's no honor in his own country. He says the gift operates better somewhere else. And I believe there's gifts in this assembly. But we maybe think there's not, but there is. More gifts maybe than you realize. But I tell you, a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge as well. And I believe that was two of the gifts working. The word of wisdom and a word of knowledge to tell me what to do. Both gifts were working. And that's what God's able to do. And that's two of your gifts, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and faith. There's a gift of faith. Now, all of us have faith, but there's a gift of faith. And a man that's a gift of faith, not matter if you have faith or not. If a real man of God that's a gift of faith, he'll pray for you and it'll happen. Simple as that. Jack Cole and Wigglesworth are perfect examples for two men that operated in the gift of faith. They both had it. They had the gift of faith. And that's the way they operated. Then there's the gifts of healing. That's more than one gift. There's an S on the end. Gifts of healing. And there's men of God and women as well that can have gifts of healing. And there's so many men that have gifts of healing. And these are the nine gifts of spirit. And then there's a gift. There's a working of miracles. Working of miracles. So God can give a gift of working of miracles. And if ever we needed that gift, we need it today. Now the thing is about these gifts, that Paul says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Now you think this evening, if you were to set out to seek God properly and covet a gift that's needed, God could give you. Because it's written in here, covet earnestly the best gifts. So that gives you the right to ask for it. And if that wasn't written in here, then that'd be different. But it's written in here, covet earnestly the best gifts. Now I know, and I can hear it in my two ears now. For I've been with him long enough when I was young to know about it. Yet I show on to you a more excellent way. We have the Bible now in its completeness. That's the next thing you'll hear. And he come at your door tomorrow to tell you, now that I'm preaching this tonight. That's a confident arm. He'll get him tell you to take out of you. Anything that's put in you, he'll take it back out. Because when the good seed's sown, the other boy will come sowing in our seed. That's the way it works. That's the Bible. And I tell you, that's the coming of the Lord, which perfect's coming.
Yes, that's right.
It's the coming of the Lord. And a lot of people might have claimed it was this and that, but it's the coming of the Lord. And then we'll be known as He's known. Amen. And we'll no longer look through the dark glass, as it were, but we'll see Him face to face. There's these wonderful gifts, and then there's the gifts of prophecy. And we've had gifts of prophecy working here amongst us. Prophecy. Gifts of prophecy. Then there's the discerning of spirits. And many times some of the brothers do pray for the discerning of spirits, and we need the discerning of spirits. You could say that was a gift as well, working discerning spirits in that man. He thought the neighbor was going to kill him. But I know what his problem was, because I found out what it was. And it was nothing to do with his neighbor or anything. It was what came out of a bottle. What he was ticking was affecting. That was the truth of it. It was affecting this here, his head. Because when you put something in chemicals and you think you're a doctor and you're not, well, then you're working against, you know, you're working in the dark, as they say. And then there's diverse kinds of tongues. And that's in there for a reason. Diverse kinds means different kinds of tongues. So that's why if you copied me, God mightn't be giving you the tongue I have. He could be giving you a totally different tongue. See, that's why this business of copying it, as I say, it's nonsense. God will give you your own gift of tongues. Especially whatever He wants to give you, God can give you it. Then there's interpretation of tongues. Thank God for interpretation of tongues. It's wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now these, it's all these gifts listed in chapter 12. And all these gifts is to profit with all. Immediately after listing these nine spiritual gifts, it proceeds to describe the church as the body of Christ. And the body's many members. And each of them have a different function. And they're all designed to work together to the benefit of the whole body, being many but one body in Christ. So everybody can't be a pastor. That wouldn't work. And everybody can't be an evangelist and a teacher and so forth. But everybody's part of the body. But Christ is the head of the body. And you look at your own body tonight. Look at them hands, them fingers, and your toes and so forth. And your eyes and ears and everything. All them things is part of your body. Then you think of the spiritual body of Christ. Every single part's needed. Them fingers can do things the toes can't do. And the eyes can do things the ears can't do and so on. But everything's needed. And it needs to be functioning properly. And one of the greatest things, and you know, a young brother came and preached about it here years ago, was about the kidneys. Do you ever remember that? And he preached about the kidneys. And the kidneys is a vital part of your body because that's where everything gets cleaned. It goes through the kidneys and gets cleaned. And that's the blood working. And the body needs the functioning of the blood of Jesus Christ through it. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we're walking in the light as He's in the light. So we're walking in the light with the continual flow of the blood of Jesus keeping us clean all the time. And we'll need it. And we'll need it till we're changed and out of here. We will make mistakes, but thank God for mercy. Now look down with me to chapter 20, verse 21, of 1 Corinthians. Verse 21, I've probably quoted it, but let's we read it to you. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, or again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more these members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which think the less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundance, abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body. And I'm going to look at this for a moment tonight. But that the members should have the same care one for another. Now you know the body, what I'm talking about, the body of Christ's body is not just this fellowship. We are a wee blink, if you like. How many understands that? If there's other people that are genuinely saved and born again, they're part of the same body we are part of. So we should have the same love for them. Is that right? That's the Bible. Because Christ loves them all. And he died for them all. Now you see this word schism. This word's amazed me. I've really been looking at this word. Because this word's amazed me. So that, now let me just read it again. So that there should be no division, discord in the body. That is the lack of adaptation of the parts of each other. But that the parts may have the same concern one for another. No division. The devil wants division. He wants division. And I tell you, he wants to sow discord. That's the way he works. And you know what schism means? Schism means a split or division between two strongly opposed factions or parties. That's how churches break up. All you need is two different opinions, and you can soon have a breakup. One fella knows more than the other fella, and the next thing you know, there's a split. They can't get on, they can't agree. That's a schism. It can be caused by different opinions of belief. Now, you know, you have to have a belief as well. I'm not saying you go anything. We couldn't go down and have fellowship with a priest tonight because we don't believe in the act of transubstantiation. We don't believe that. So we have no fellowship with that. There's a standard as well. You don't just go anything. There has to be a doctrinal standard. We know that. But then there has to be no schism either. Amen. Now, from this explanation, it's clear God does not want to bestow spiritual gifts primarily to benefit individuals, but to benefit the whole entire body. So God gives these gifts to benefit the whole entire body. That's what they're there for. While the gifts do bless individuals, the focus is what the individuals can contribute. And that's the problem. People praying, oh, if we could have a man like such a man before. But the problem is, when you look at all the men before, what happens? People follow them. And they start building denominationals around them. Now you take the end time matches, and I'm going to use it, and I don't care if it's recorded or not. I'm just going to say it how it is. William Branham himself said, when a denomination organizes, God moves out of it. So there you are. Now, if you tell me that's not organized tonight, what is then organized? It's a bigger denomination than what it's come out of. It's organized tonight. And it's not preaching Jesus Christ like it used to. It's preaching a man. And it's not the man's fault. They're not doing what the man said. And it's like any other system or organization. There'll be a man at the top of it and they'll follow him. And if that man's taking the place of Jesus Christ, that's wrong. The gifts must be to edify the whole body. Not to edify an individual that operates a gift. God does bestow spiritual gifts primarily to benefit individuals. We know that. But it's to the whole body. A gift can help you. We know that. But it's to edify the whole body. Amen. You think of the gift William Branham had. Now that man definitely had a gift of healing. If anybody said he didn't have it, there's something wrong. Yet withal, when he was out on a hunting trip, he pulled his trouser leg up and he said to the fellow with him, look at my leg, it's black. I need prayer. My leg's black. And he said, see, the gift's not for me, it's for the body. God sent the gift for the body, not for the individual. You even hear stories of different men of God that never took sick in their lives. That's lies. Almost every one of them took sick. They took colds and flus just like you and me take. Now, some of you mightn't believe that. Well, William Branham in the message the other day said, I'm just recovering from the flu. So he took sick. Smith Wigglesworth's granddaughter was asked, did Smith Wigglesworth ever take sick? Because we were told he never took sick in his life. She said, that's not right. He took sick on some occasions. Not often, but he did take sick. Do you know why? Because it's in this pest house. You see, this, it can't be perfect. For you see, if it can be, you'd never need it salvation. But you do need it. We've been delivered from this. It's called the pest house. The Bible calls it the pest house. When Paul was discussing and teaching in the You know the proper use of spiritual gifts, Paul explained, 1 Corinthians 14:3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto man to edification and exhortation and comfort. He's speaking unto man to edification and comfort and exhortation. Now my time's going already, and I haven't said a thing, really. But let me go back and leave these notes for a minute. Let me go back with this. And we'll look at verse 28 of 1 Corinthians. Just to show you briefly, and we'll close about the fivefold ministry, because I'm not going to have time to go on with the rest other bits. Verse 28, and God have set in the church first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. Now, youth, tongues is really important, or they wouldn't have been listed here. Now, diversity means different kinds of tongues. And you see, apostles, first, secondary prophets. Now, go with me to Ephesians. Go with me over to the book of Ephesians. Let me close this down. Go with me over to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 2, verse 20, and then we'll go to chapter 4 as well. Chapter 2, verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, what did you read in 1 Corinthians 12:28? What's the first two ministries you read of apostles and prophets? What's the first two things you read up here in Ephesians 2, verse 20? Apostles and prophets. Now, you tell me the truth of operating today in the modern church. They're not working. They'll tell you you don't need apostles and prophets, but yet the Bible emphasizes them. It really emphasizes apostles and prophets. Firstly, apostles. Secondary, prophets. Then it goes on to the rest. But yet with all the modern day church says they don't have these, they don't need them. But they do need them. And I don't believe when God sends a prophet in one generation, that's it all finished. Because you can go into the Old Testament, you had major prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah and so forth, but you'd also what you call minor prophets. How many knows what I'm saying? Take Paul the apostle, a mighty apostle of God and a prophet, and then what about Agabus? He took his girdle and bound it round him. He was a prophet. Said, thus saith the Lord. And I counted, I think, with 17 or 18 different prophets in the New Testament. And they tell you there's only a few. Well, there's us lies. You read this Bible, it'll tell you what's in it. And there's more than a few. Look at chapter 4 now and verse 11. Chapter 4 and verse 11 of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets. What's the first two? Again, apostles and prophets. I think I would prefer to say that the whole thing today is not working the way that was in the Bible. Am I right or wrong? I believe I'm right. There's an emphasis on so many things, on the things that should be on, it's never mentioned. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So there's your fivefold ministry. There's the five ministries listed in the Word of God. Now go to the book of Acts. Quickly for a moment, and I won't keep us much longer tonight. Acts 21. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 21, verse 8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist. Now, I'm only reading this for an example. Because when you read the fivefold ministry, one of them's an evangelist. And when you read how an evangelist really worked, and we talk today so much in this country, he's a real evangelist. Well, he's not like Paul. Or he's not like Philip. Am I telling the truth or not? Now you say to me, Brother Tom, what are you talking about? Well, the Bible says Philip went down to the city of Samaria and the devils cried out. How many evangelists do you see the day go down somewhere and the devil's crying out? How many do you see doing it? Now, he didn't get them up to the Holy Ghost. Because the people that believed under Philip's preaching had to get Peter and John to pray for them. Is that right? And the Holy Ghost come on them after. Is that the Bible? That's the Bible. But Philip here played his part, what God called him to do. Then the other apostles played their part that God called them to do. But that's not how it's working today. The whole thing's not running the way the New Testament church runs. Now, I'm not talking about this fellowship. I'm talking about universally, everywhere. You imagine if you went today and said, "We'd tell you, we have a brother and he's a prophet amongst us." They would look at you, wouldn't they? They would look at you. Well, that all passed away with the disciples. Whoever an apostle, they'd look at you again, wouldn't you? Wouldn't they? But yet with all, God sent the apostles out. Started the churches and so forth. And they went round everywhere. Now look at chapter, go back to chapter 20, verse 28 of Acts 2. Verse 28, probably on the same page in your Bible. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he have purchased with his blood." The true church is purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read Timothy, and then I'm going to have to close. I'm not going to have time to go any further. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4 and 5. "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." And the angel told William Branham, and we know William Branham was a prophet. There's no denying it. But yet the angel told him, do the work of an evangelist, even though he was a prophet. And somebody says, well, if you have one ministry, you can't do the other. Well, the Bible says you can. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that works it. And the Holy Spirit can decide, he can work them on different things if he wants to do it. That's up to the Holy Spirit. And he told that prophet of God, and he was absolutely a prophet. But he said, do the work of an evangelist. And you listen in his early meetings when he makes an altar call, how many get saved? There was hundreds. Hundreds got saved. In every service, people were getting saved. In every single service. Because he was doing the work of an evangelist. And I believe that every single church, listen to me tonight, I believe that's where things have went wrong. People went down the road of teaching so much that evangelism in many groups was shelved. And it ceased. Even till the stage, and I'm going to have to close, you could read Romans 12 and 7 as well if you want to take the notes down. But you could go to some places and you'll hear good, there's maybe nothing wrong with the teaching. But if you took somebody with you that's not saved, they wouldn't know how to get saved when they leave. There's no evangelism. We need the fivefold ministry. And we need the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we need the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And we need to be praying that God moves amongst us. And we don't need schisms. We don't need schisms. The Bible tells us we don't need schisms. Division. There has to be a unity. And to have the power of God working and the power of God flowing, we need unity. And you see in the day of Pentecost, everybody talks about the day of Pentecost and how God moved, but there's one thing they had, unity. Because the Bible says they're in one place and one accord. We're not there saying, well, we're Italian, we should have done this or done that. They were in unity. They were in agreement. And the Bible says if two agree, if I'm in this meeting tonight and I'm praying for somebody and you're not really with me, or vice versa, do you understand what I'm saying? Maybe you're thinking, we shouldn't pray for them. Well, I'm going to give you a verse tonight. Pray for those who despitefully uses you. That's the Bible. What do you think of that verse? That's the one that does you harm. Pray for them. Now, the Bible tells you to pray for somebody who despitefully uses you. And somebody is a brother or sister. They might be part of our fellowship and they need prayer. Surely we should be praying for them. Absolutely. Not for a bunch of hypocrites, in my opinion. That's the truth. Is it the truth or not? Pray for those. Pray for your neighbor. And I tell you, all of us, I'm sure, as neighbors, we want to see them saved. We don't want schism. We want unity. Unity. Praying in one accord. Let's come tonight and pray. And I trust the Lord just give you something tonight. Let's just pray and pray that God will move in all the meetings and everything. And praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight that you are truly Hebrews 13 and 8. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, when we look tonight, the church in general seems to be far off from what it was here in the Bible. But yet with all, Lord, we know this is your word and your blueprint for every one of us. We pray, Lord, you'll give us the wisdom and the guidance and the knowledge and the direction. We pray that the ministry and the gifts of Spirit will be manifested amongst us. Lord, that you'll have your way in every one of our lives and in every one of our homes. Father, that there'll be no schisms. Lord, but you'll give us a spirit of unity and the spirit of love. We pray for each one tonight in this house. You'll bless them and meet their every need, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, that it'll be pressed down and running over the top. Health to the body, strength to the body. For those that need a miracle tonight, Lord, we pray and know that your Bible speaks of the gifts of miracles and the gifts of healing. And surely, Lord, we need these gifts amongst us. And we're praying you'll manifest these wonderful gifts in your true church. Lord, that people will be touched and healed by the power of God. Lord, that the fivefold ministry will be in operation like it was here in the Bible. The real workers of God going forth. Bless each one here tonight, Lord. And maybe, Lord, some of these young men sitting here, you've gifted them and called them. We just pray you'll help every one of us to commit our lives afresh to you and yield to you and yield to the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you'll have your way in each one of our lives. And Lord, in this fellowship and in our homes, we pray. We ask you, Lord, for those that's indifferent tonight or backslidden. We pray the Spirit of God will move on them. We pray the Spirit of God will speak to them. Lord, if they're your children, Lord, you can speak to them. You can move upon them. And we just ask you will. And you'll bring them back into that real desire to love you and fellowship with you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, fill us with faith tonight and the fear of God. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Let's continue just to seek the Lord tonight.